or student development. With respect to staff development, the University Capacity Development Program is being implemented to help develop university academic and professional staff in roles including teaching, researching, leading, managing, and administration. Also to promote access for senior undergraduate or early postgraduate students to academic career development opportunities, to support the recruitment and development of new talented academics that will contribute to a transformed demographic profile at our universities. We're also supporting the development of existing and newly recruited academics, teaching and research capacity, prioritizing staff who do not hold a PhD degree. These are programs that we are having. Many of them have introduced them since we made our commitments. Yeah? We're also providing development of opportunities for university staff who are in leadership and management positions at universities, or who show potential and interest in following this pathway. Part of this will involve contributing to the establishment of a professoriate that is demographically representative. I'm also pleased to say, Chair, that we have just received a report that I had commissioned a few years ago on the circumstances inhibiting the identification, selection, promotion, and development of Black and women South African academics in South African universities. I'm studying this report and will be releasing it for public comment so that later, sooner rather than later, of course, it can be presented to Cabinet for adoption and implementation by my department. You will remember, Chair, this is an issue that many people have been raising, that we are having less and less Black South African academics in our universities and women. Much as it is healthy for any university system to also have foreign nationals participating as academics, but we have to strike a balance. For instance, you find now in South Africa, a department with 10 academic staff, all of whom are not South African nationals. So we do need to address that, because we, much as we welcome foreign academics, but we must grow our own timber, because the sustainability of our system is dependent on that. Now, this report, which I will release, which by the way, also the NCOP and the National Assembly will be briefed about, goes into detail. In fact, I think it's got about 20 recommendations and suggestions on what needs to be done in order to address this matter. Now, with respect to program and curriculum development in universities, the University Capacity Development Program is providing support for the development of new programs identified as national, regional, and/or institutional priorities. We're also providing support for university processes that enhance the relevance of higher education curricula in order also to enable transformation. The main implementation modality of the university capacity development programs involves the implementation of what we refer to as the Department of Higher Education and Training approved university capacity development plans by each of the 26 universities. I'm pleased to say that each of the 26 universities of our public universities do indeed have these plans now. The plans cover a 3-year cycle, with the current cycle having started in 2018. A second modality is collaborative projects involving university consortia. The projects have to be focused on national transformational and capacity development needs and challenges that fall within the mandate of the University Capacity Development Program. A third modality involves the implementation of nationally led sub-programs. Now, what are our financial investments into this development program? I'm pleased to say that this program involves an cannot use this money for any other purpose other than for what it is allocated for, which in this case is university capacity development program. So in summary, as an introduction and also highlights, that is what we have done in terms of our commitments. With your permission, Chair, perhaps I can ask each of the DDGs if they've got to add, to start by introducing themselves, so that then we can be able to complete our input and then hand over back to you, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Can we then allow the DDG to add on what has been presented by the Honorable Minister? DDG, are you in?
Is Aruna Singh there, Chair, who is DDG for TVET?
Yes. Yes, I am here, Honorable Chair. It's Aruna Singh. I'm the acting DDG for TVET. Chair, I think the Minister's opening remarks a substantial covered quite substantially the undertakings in terms of TVET. The only thing that is perhaps worthwhile adding at this stage, although it was not, you know, part of the record of the undertakings, is that during this COVID period, in as much as there were concerns around the programs for TVET colleges, during this COVID period, I just want to highlight that there have been various positive strides made in the delivery of TVET programs. What we have seen in the last few months is that TVET colleges have been able to, by and large, make quite a transition into offering remote learning support to the students. Minister mentioned that we have already undertaken to provide students with laptops that will be delivered when NSFAS is able to deliver to all students, including university students. But we are also seriously forging ahead with provision of laptops to lecturers. So I think the only addition that I would like to make is in terms of the delivery of programs is that we are intensifying our efforts to provide diversified support to students, to include blended learning that will help us to expand the TVET college system and to grow the number of students we can actually accommodate.
Wow. What
is also being noted, Chair, is that the number, can you not hear now?
You are crackling.
Hello? Is it? Okay, I don't know what's happening with Zoom today, Chair. I was on MS Teams earlier and it was fine. But just to conclude to say that we are improving on the placement of students in work and that has been a positive outcome in the recent reports we have received. I will stop there, Chair. Thank you
very much. So that's the only addition. Thank you very much, then.
Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much, and honorable members. That Zukile Christopher Mvalo, the DDG responsible for skills development in the department. I just wanted to amplify as well as Minister has already alluded regarding the high absorption rate of programs such as in internships, learnerships, as well as artisans. So if I just to attest, especially regarding to artisan, we've done work, we normally do in any way every year in the department to look into the absorption rate of artisans that are found competent. We looked into 2018-19, we had in excess of 19,000. The labor market. I must also mention yesterday we were just having a meeting with the World Bank. They also seem to be appreciating the work, especially regarding the learnerships as well as artisans in the country. There is also a work that was done by the University of Rhodes working with the Bank Sita. We received that report in May 2020. Whereupon the report is showing that about 80% of learners who completed learnerships found employment. So I must say, Chairperson and honorable members, that these are the good news to us. In closing, Chair, I must also mention that we in the skills development system have been hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic. Because we were identified as one of the institutions supporting COVID-19 pandemic interventions. As a result, the whole system lost about in excess of 6 billion, whereupon all companies which are paying the skills levy, they have had a skills levy holiday commencing from May. So that meant then therefore that we lost for this financial year about 6 billion, which that of course has resulted in us revising the CETA annual performance plans as well as strategic plans. To think from me, that will be all, Jefferson. Once again, thanks very much for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Putzukile Mvalo. Can we then allow the honorable members to interact with the presentation by the department on executive undertakings? I am noting hands. Okay. Honorable Dodo, your hand is up. And then after that, it's Honorable Kenny Mtsamai.
Can I hit, Honorable Chair? Yes. Firstly, let me welcome the presentation by. Yes. Yes.
That's
great. Let me start by firstly welcoming the presentation from the minister in respect of issues of transformation and capacity development in the TVET colleges and in the institutions of higher learning generally. I must confess to say that this is a subject that I like very much. And I picked up that the Honorable Minister raised pertinent issues that needs to be discussed, to be critically examined. Now, my first issue, Honorable Minister, is the fact that historically, the role of universities are to focus on education, research, and community development. And where I see it, I don't get a sense that we are paying more attention to the role of universities in terms of community development and research. And I do understand the program that you are unfolding in terms of staff development of our lecturers so that they acquire more knowledge. From the African countries, because my view and assertion is the one that says that we tend to even those who are not historically disadvantaged by the objective realities of our country. When we talk of the demographics in terms of the thing that is African, include everything that is Black, and in that way, my view is that it doesn't necessarily help us to address this particular element, because many South Africans, I argue, those who were historically disadvantaged in the past are not writing to the mainstream of our universities, and that is where, in my view, empowerment has got to start. And I would like to hear, and what is it that we do to improve the situation in that respect? And I'm looking forward to get that submission from the minister so that we engage on this particular matter in a broader context. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dodo. Can we then take Honorable Ntsame?
Na ke tumela ho tla the way minister a bua ka teng me ke batla botsa ntwe one fela e leng gore in game setso ho mo Sidibeng College of Education where our student especially the Black student ga ba netletse bana ba batho ba bantsho ba ile gore ga ba khone o patalwa ke NSFAS and on that bana ba ba tletle ba ba itletse ba hore they want to get in school, marabana di chelete tsa opatala. And after that, they were suspended automatically. And baba, some of them were taken to court because ba tletle ba gore ga ba NSFAS ga ya tswela ka o ba patala. Ntho e tshwana le ena re etsa ka bana ba rona ba ba palelwang go ya sekolong. Ke a leboga.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ntsamai. Then let's take Honorable Christian. I see that your head, Christian.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I just have a few questions. My first question is about the undertaking for TVET accommodation. Now, not only TVET accommodation, but university education as well. Now, the budget has been cut for building new accommodation premises for students. And I would just like to ask the minister what the way forward is in the next few years, as historically our students have struggled with student accommodation, and it remains an issue, especially with regard to safety of our students, especially students coming from rural areas that need urgent accommodation when they come into cities and so on. And then my next question is with regard to the curriculum of TVET colleges. What undertakings and finances have been set aside to update the TVET curriculum? The TVET curriculum, some of the courses are outdated, and it still remains an issue that our students are being taught years the same curriculum that has not been undertaken. Now, my third question is about work placement. Now, I know that TVET colleges and community colleges have made strides in work placement, and that on campuses they have work placement offices and so on. Now, I know that they have made strides. It's not where it should be. But the concern is at universities. Impact and the same force is not given to actually allocating jobs for them or getting placement offices where they can go to and sort of giving their CVs and get some advice as to how to be placed, where work is available and so on. And I feel that's lacking, and we have many of our graduates sitting and working in a spa or Checkers or whatever the case may be. And they fall through the cracks and eventually are not placed. So I want to know about the minister, what strides are being made at especially universities to place our graduates? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the questions. I also have questions from my side. The first question is from the presentation which was made by the minister, that there's 1 billion set aside earmarked for grants per year, and it has very strict conditions. So what I would like to know, how much are they allocating per TVET college in terms of the 1 billion that he has referred to? And again, in the presentation, I'm not sure whether it was Mr. Mvalo who has mentioned the absorption of internship students. So what I would like to know from the department, do you have any memorandum of understanding with employers to make sure that the whole issue of absorption of the students is sustained? And the next question is on the issue of the launch of centers for specialization to meet the industry standards. And you mentioned that you have 26 campuses where these programs are taking place. What I would like to know, where in which provinces are those campuses that you are referring to? Remember, we are from different provinces. When we ask questions, we also want to go back and do our oversight. So I would like to know those provinces that have benefited from that particular program. Another one is what is the department doing to mitigate the impact of COVID-19 on apprenticeships students? So I would like to know that. So those are my questions from my side.
Honorable Minister. Mthethwa Chair.
Oh, Mthethwa, see your hand. Welcome, Honorable Mthethwa.
Thanks, Chair. Actually, I've logged in very early. Chair, I've got two questions. The first one, Chair, in terms of this artisan, since we represent provinces, we can appreciate that in the 19,000 that has been given to get the breakdown of the KZN to see as to which area in the province that has absorbed a number of these artisan so that we can have a clear planning. The second one, Chair, is the issue of the skill levy, I can see that due to this COVID-19, you have lost a lot of money. What plan do you have just to recover some of this money back so that your program cannot be disturbed so much? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tetwa. I'm checking if Honorable Makalakis, his hand is not up. No, it's not. I think that would be the questions. Can we then allow the department to respond to questions?
Yes, Chair. Perhaps if I could allow the DDGs to go first, and then I will sweep at the end. Thank you.
All right, Minister, it's OK. DDGs, over to you.
OK, Honorable Chair, it's Aruna Singh again. I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, ma'am.
You can. OK. Honorable Chair, I will take a answer it in an integrated way, but if there's somebody from the university branch, you also want to come in on this one. Sorry, am I breaking?
Are you settled today?
Sorry,
you seem to be disappearing. Thanks.
Is it? I'm
it's
not
okay.
Sure.
Continue.
Okay, there is a concern that with the budget cuts, you know, how do we provide for student accommodation going forward? I must say, Honorable Chair, that student accommodation, both for TVET colleges and for universities,
has disappearing again.
Projectized in the degree now that will be regarded as a very integrated in it. Just trying to move around a bit. Is it any better? Is it any better now?
Yes, so much better. We didn't hear your first part of your presentation. You are worse. Can we give someone else whilst we are looking for a proper space?
I'm not sure if I'm going to find it. But okay, you may proceed, Chair, to see if it's any better with the others.
Can we try others to respond?
Well, thanks very much, Chairperson and honorable members at Mvalo. I just wanted to respond as well into some of the questions. Especially regarding the work placement of our graduates, as well as those who are placed for work integrated learning. And obviously, those who are placed for work integrated learning are those who are required in terms of their qualifications to a component of workplace based training so that they can get their qualification at the end of the program itself. So what we are doing as the department, we enter into service level agreements with all sector education and training authorities, of which we do have 21 sectors in the country, which are covering almost each and every economic area or activity in the country. I must mention, in those service level agreement, Honorable Chen, Honorable Members, we list amongst others various learning programs, whether it's a learnership, it's work integrated learning, it's apprenticeship, internship, and so on. And I must say, so far, if I just look back, we just completed this financial year, the AG is finalizing its own report. The number that we have placed in the financial year 1920 so far is 158,651 It's a very huge number if we look into that number. Of course, that 158,651 is excluding artisans because we count them separate, even though they are part of the workplace-based learning program. So 158,651. Well, this number, I must also confess that it dropped if we compare to the number of the preceding year. And we know just close towards the end of the financial year, we had the national state of disaster and also the alert level F5 lockdown. And obviously the economy for the, especially in 2019, was not doing quite very well. Most quarters have contracted. That has implication with regards to workplace-based learning programs. I know if I just mentioned when we're discussing just with the World Bank, so we're discussing amongst others that we need to venture, especially into a small, medium, and micro enterprises, because also there are opportunities in that area that we can unleash. Mostly other countries of the world already, they're also training their own artisans in the area of the informal economy. As the country have not yet moved on, it's an area that we're exploring that one, especially post COVID-19 pandemic. Also, there is a question of absorption. I must say, if you look into university graduates, the unemployment up to date, if we look, for example, into Stats SA first quarter report of 2020, the unemployment of graduates is standing at 9.5%. Meaning, therefore, our university graduates are so highly absorbed by employers, both private as well as public. And then if you look into other tertiary qualifications, the unemployment by the first quarter, or the end of the first quarter of 2020 was standing at 19.2%. I must also mention, honorable members, that this, we have seen an increase here if you compare with the last quarter of 2019, whereby graduate unemployment was somewhere around 7%, as well as other tertiary qualifications was somewhere around 18%. But then when we look into the first quarter of 2020, we have seen that there is now the rise of unemployment in our university graduates, as well as other tertiary qualifications. But then of course we are, especially with the COVID-19, post-COVID-19 as well, we're likely then therefore to see some challenges around the workplace-based learning programs. Because of the requirements, the protocols that are there in terms of COVID-19 pandemic. But then of course, we are impressing upon, and the minister in each and every opportunity he is having when he's addressing the media, he's always making a call to all employers in the country to also prioritize the training, the workplace training, especially of our young people, whether it's with regards to learnerships, internships, apprenticeship, and so on. And we continue to call upon to employers. And the minister is also meeting at some point with the business and the labor in the country, impressing upon in training and workplace training in particular, especially during and post COVID. So those are the areas I just wish at this point in time the person to respond to. And then of course, I must say that we are having the statistics of our artisans across all provinces, as well as gender breakdown. And then we can also provide such statistics to the honorable committee members. Thanks very much, honorable chair and honorable committee members.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon, Minister and Honorable Members. This is Wuchi Green from the University Education Branch. And I'll just pick up on some of the issues that were raised in questions related to the university education sector. So Mr. Mvalo has given, I think, quite a good summary of the employment situation. A recent study by the HSRC that followed a NISFAS graduate into the labor market and looked at the graduates from 2005 to 2015. That study was published in 2018 and showed that on average 91% of the graduates were in employment. We are planning a further graduate destination study this year to be undertaken across the whole sector involving all 26 universities and not just the NISFAS students. And that will provide us with further information that we can utilize to enhance our work in this area. Just to say that work integrated learning is finding increasing traction in the university education sector, and many programs have work integrated learning components. Dual studies, for example, programs that involve study in the university and workplace-based learning are becoming increasingly popular. In relation to the question that was asked about the UCDP and its support for South African staff, the UCDP is specifically focused on the development of South African academics and professional staff. In fact, for all the programs that are implemented by the Department of Higher Education and Training as part of the UCDP, the Nurturing Emerging Scholars Program, the New Generation of Academics Program, the Future Professors Program, all have a requirement that the beneficiaries must be 80% South African, Black, and or woman participants. And in this way, we will grow and ensure the participation of South African academics in the university sector. The UCDP is just being implemented for 3 years. 2020 is the third year, and we'll be entering a further three-year cycle from 2021. We're currently working with universities to develop those plans. It's still early days to say, to point to a definite impact, but we're certainly already seeing improvements in the range of indicators that you're tracking. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, members.
Chair, I wonder if I shouldn't try and come in. Do you hear me any better now? It's Aruna from Tibet. Hello. Hello.
Maybe let me come in, because unfortunately our DDG TVET seems to be in a very bad space, if you allow me, Chair.
Oh, yes, you can continue, Honorable Minister.
Oh, sorry, Chair, I couldn't hear you. Firstly, I want to say, just in addition, because I think that the DDGs who have spoken have covered quite a lot of the number of very legitimate and important questions raised by honorable members. Honorable Dodovu, I agree with you that perhaps the issue of, firstly, you're right. Our universities have got three primary mandates. It's teaching and learning, the first one. Second one is research. Third one is community engagement. In all of these, there's lots that is good, by the way, that is happening. Some research produced in our universities is truly world-class. Some of it may not be regarded as world-class, but it's very locally relevant, which is, by the way, world-class is not, should not just be judged by publishing in US-based journals, but also world-class for us must also be about relevant research for our own development. There's lots of that is being done. In fact, my worry, Chair, if I were to be self-critical, is that perhaps as government, we are not publicizing this enough. But to say so is not then to deny the very important observation that Honorable Dodo is making, that a lot more can still be done and needs to be done, especially in the area of community engagement by our universities. For instance, on the issue that also he alludes to of the inequalities, institutional inequalities, we have also established now a new program on to strengthen historically disadvantaged institutions. We are naming it the Professor Sibusiso Sobhengu HDI Development Grant, named after our first Minister of Education in a democratic South Africa, whose aim is precisely to address the institutional inequalities that we have in our system. And I want to assure Honorable Dodo, I am really prioritizing this issue of institutional inequalities. Honorable Mtsamai, if I understood you correctly, the issue you are raising is what we have referred to as the missing middle. Those who do not qualify for NSFAS yet they cannot afford university. It's an issue that government is prioritizing. I am at the moment working at examining what methods can be found to support such students? Because government's commitment is clear. It goes up to households earning up to 350,000. Beyond that, if anything else will have to be done for those students, it will have to be through the involvement of the private sector, which is what we are looking at, whether it's the banks or other such facilities that can be there, because government does not fund everyone. But government has prioritized the children of the working class and the poor. We are happy to come and report once we are ready in terms of what is it that is beginning to emerge on what still can be done. A lot of work has been done on this goal. At the moment, I'm just looking at consolidating it and coming up with a plan. Because the problem we have in South Africa is like housing. There are those families who are not poor enough to qualify for RDP houses, yet they are not rich to be able to qualify for housing loans from the banks. So it's your gap market, which you have in housing, and you also have in education. So we're trying to do something to assist on that score insofar, in both instances, actually. I don't speak for Minister Sisulu, but I know that government is addressing that. She has been saying this on the housing front. Now, Honorable Christians, the issue of, I'm going to try now and be DDG Singh. The issue of TVET accommodation, she was beginning to say that it's not just affecting TVET colleges, but it's also universities. But we are aware of the challenge of student accommodation across the board. That is why the president in the State of the Nation address elevated this matter to being a priority. Now, what I then though do need to say is that at the moment it's not possible to accommodate everyone. But also the challenge in TVET colleges with student accommodation has a particular history, Honorable Chair. Because the intention with TVET colleges was that they should all be within traveling distance. That is why we have 270 campuses throughout the country. Because the aim was not to accommodate TVET college students originally in any student accommodation, other than the fact that they would stay at home and be within traveling distance. Unfortunately, we have not been able to increase the number of colleges such that we are able to do that. But the second way, since Honorable Christian is asking an important question, in the next 4 to 5 years, what is our plan? That's a very important question. Let me tell you what our plan is. Is that ideally, TVET college students who are doing, especially in all programs, but especially in engineering programs, should be employed as apprentices. They should not actually be going as the first instant to go and register at a college, like it happens in the German system. Partly that's why we are partnering with the Germans, because we really want, we are convinced as South Africa, we know to go a similar route, like it happened with white artisans under apartheid, by the way, except it was only for whites, that you get employed in industry as an apprentice. Then you go only after that to register at a college, to attend college once or twice a week to do your theoretical work. We need a sea change. That is where I'm focused at now. In term, because that then obviates, if you are an apprentice, you are earning, you can be staying at home, or you find accommodation somewhere next to the workplace, which then changes the nature of TVET college education in our country. But in the meantime, we are doing all we can to provide accommodation for both TVET and university students.
I wonder what's happening.
So I just thought that I needed to answer this in that way. The curriculum, I thought that we did explain, Honorable Christians, what we are doing about the curriculum. The additional information that perhaps we can provide, maybe DDG Singh was going to say something about that, is where are these centers of excellence? Centers of excellence, the 26, as you ask, Chair, are across the country, but we can provide you with the exact information as to how many, where are they, in which college, in which provinces. We can be able to supply you with that detailed information as soon as possible. And I commit we will actually send it to the committee so that you are able to get on this. I think the issue of COVID-19 and apprentices has actually been addressed. And that, yes, the levy system, we have lost possibly close to 10 billion rands because of the payment levy holiday that was announced by the president. And we are engaging the stakeholders at NEDLAC on how do we mitigate against this particular reality. Now, I think that WIT has actually addressed all the other things about university students and how they are employed, that they tend to be better employed than TVET college students. But maybe the last point on my side about employability of TVET college students, we believe that the biggest gap is on workplace experience while students are training. So that is why we want to change the model. The model, you must not go and knock at the college first, Chair. You must go and knock at the workplace. And I believe if you combine the monies in the CETA system, the money in the President's Youth Employment Service project, some money that gets invested in skills from the UIF, if you pull together all these amounts, I am absolutely convinced that at the very least, all your engineering apprentices can actually be employed, provided employers cooperate with us, because also that's very important, that employers. But the last point, maybe, which before I forget, then this is really the last one, Chair, is that one challenge we have as a country, that yourselves, as honorable members of parliament, we have to grapple with together with us. We are still having too many students doing programs that are oversubscribed. If you go to any TVET college, you find that sometimes more than half the students are all doing public relations. Yet we know that the bigger shortage is not in public relations. The bigger shortage is on welders, is on electricians, is on bricklayers, is on boilermakers, all those kinds. Universities also, we have the same. The challenge we are faced with, when we give you NSFAS, we don't say, we'll give you NSFAS on condition you are going to go and do this program. We simply say, as long as you qualify in terms of family income, go and do whatever program you like to do. So you will find that a lot of NSFAS money is funding already what are oversubscribed skills. Now, that is an issue that as government and as a department, we have to begin to change, because what we are having competing here, on the one hand, is an imperative of access for everyone who is poor, but on the other hand, supporting those who are being trained in skills that are required in the workplace. If you understand that balance, the two things often do not go together. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members.
Thank you very much, Minister. I'm sure there are two questions that were not responded to. One is on the issue of the memorandum in line with what one of the points you just raised now of employment of graduates, that you do have a memorandum of understanding with employers. So it will be critical for us to know if you do have that so that you sustain this employment. And the last one is on the 26 college campuses that you have a program of a center of specialization. Which are those centers? Which province are they? Those are the only two questions that are not responded to. Can someone help us?
Chair, I don't know if Aruna is able to join.
Can anybody hear me?
Sorry.
Yes, we can hear.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. All right, Chair. It's 26 centers of specialization, which means that some colleges have more than one campus offer as a center of specialization. We have a complete list of those. For now, it suffices to say that the centers of specialization are across the country in all 9 provinces. It would be easier if we just sent you a list of the colleges and the campuses that have the centers of specialization and the particular trades. There are 13 trades that are offered in these centers of specialization, and it will specify which centers of specialization offer which particular trades. So it would be, more useful if we sent to the Secretariat the full list indicating the college, the campuses, and the trades that they offer. If that is okay, we will attend to that and send it through as soon as possible. Thank you.
It's okay. Memorandum of understanding with employers?
Chair, on that, the situation is very varied and uneven. Strictly speaking, it's very few instances where we have got memorandum of understanding with employers beyond the commitments that have been made, for instance, between employers, labor, and government in the president's youth employment services, because private sector has actually committed to absorb a certain number of young people for internships and learnerships or initial employment. So they would be a memorandum of understanding in that regard, in terms of the president's program. The challenge with that, though, is that it's a voluntary commitment.
Yes.
It's not a compulsory commitment, it's a voluntary commitment. There are some employers who are doing well, but there are others who are actually hardly doing anything. The second thing is that individual universities of technology, for instance, your former technical, some of them have got agreements with particular companies to absorb their students for the final year of their diploma programs to be absorbed for placement. And those, once they are absorbed, all of them virtually, they actually get employed in the end. But again, that's a voluntary arrangement, and it's university to university. A university that has got a good campaigner who goes all out to engage with industry, that actually happens. It's far less so with your traditional universities that you have got memorandum. Unless, as I say, the situation is very varied. In some instances, we have got bursaries and scholarships given by companies who send their students to particular institutions and guarantee them employment when they finish. Some of them, others, they don't do that. So the most critical area, Chair, is the one that I had identified, that the graduates who are actually not absorbed are your TVET college graduates. As it has been said, university graduates, they are less than 10% who are unemployed. May increase now with COVID, but on average, it has always been around 7% of university graduates who do not get employed. It's the TVET college sector, and the route to do that is the one that I was suggesting, to really return to a full apprenticeship system. And that is where we are putting focus. And as part of helping us with that, we have been having a long-standing program with the German government to support us with technical expertise in this respect. And when Chancellor, there was only one agreement signed between the two countries, is the one I'm referring to, technical assistance in terms of artisan training and strengthening our TVET colleges. And the Germans have said, we will give you as much technical assistance as you want. The most critical thing that in that cooperation we want to emphasize is precisely to move to get South African employers to commit to employ apprentices working together with government. Thank you very much, Chen. I don't know if I've left something on that insofar as the officials are concerned.
No, you haven't. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Now I see the hand of Honorable Ntsamai. Do you want to do a follow-up, Honorable Ntsamai? We're closing now this particular item. Over to you. It must be a follow-up, Honorable Ntsamai.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to ask the minister and his team, if they are aware about the Sidibeng College of Education, where the security company, the private security company using the HIPPOs that are being hired to shoot the student or to protect the student. I don't know whether the minister have ever visited that, but the money that we use used to hire the security company is the money that was the student. They took the matter to court yesterday. Oh, so I was just want to know if the minister is aware of that.
It's not the follow up. Switch off your mic, please. It's not the follow up, and it's a new question. And the question is irrelevant in terms of the undertakings that you are dealing with. The matter, if you want to pursue, you have a right to raise it with the minister aside. I'm sure he has heard it now, but it can be because the matter is also dealt with at the court. So we cannot entertain that at all. So I'm protecting the minister from your question. Honorable Minister, on that note, let's ask, thank you very much for the response on your undertakings as a department. And I'm hoping that the stats that you promise us to send in writing, that would happen, the stats that are dealing with the information which was relevant to the question of Honorable Christian, and also the issue of trade centers, the breakdown, which provinces are they, and institutions. We expect that those in writing, not now. So if only you can help us about those two. Otherwise, in terms of the undertakings, we are done with the Honorable Minister and the staff. Thank you very much. You have erased the bad taste we had in the last meeting. I hope it will never happen again. You have erased it.
I'll try my best, Chair, never to happen again. It's not a nice thing to fight with honorable members. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. Now we'll be dealing, honorable minister, with a petition. We'll ask you to please leave some of your officials so that they listen to the petition. Otherwise, as the minister, you are excused now.
Chair, let me guarantee you, there is DDG Mvalo, who is dealing with this area. And I've also seen that the CEO of the services, CETA, is here, as well as the administrator of the construction, CETA, is also here. And I think that between the three of them, they will be able to actually deal with all your issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, the minister. Drive safe if you are driving from where you are, and have a wonderful evening. Can we then go to our next item, which is a petition by Mr. John Maropeng Sholo. I hope I'm pronouncing the surname properly. Can I check if he's also available online? Can you please help me, Nkanyiso, Mr. Mkhize?
Honourable Chair, John, the petitioner, is with us. He can join you, Chair.
Oh, thank you very much. You must join us now and start making presentation. Maybe let me outline the process first. What is going to happen now? We are going to listen to the petitioner. And then after he has finished his presentation we will then ask questions of clarities, so that as a committee, when we start to entertain the matter, we have all the facts on the table. So there won't be a discussion about the petition itself, but is to receive the petition, ask the question of clarities, and find time as the committee to look at the petition. Can we then allow the petitioner to take us through? Mr. Sholo.
Hello.
We are patiently waiting.
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful.
Hello.
You are welcome. You are welcome to the committee. The committee is called Petition and Itself, Zukiswa Ngcitha. I'm with the honorable members here who won't be able to take an exercise because we're all over the show to introduce each other. But you're welcome. You can start your presentation. Over to you.
Okay. My name is John Mrocho. On behalf of the learners of EOH, we want to complete our learnership program that was hosted by UOH in the year 2017, and also for project management and post-work construction.
We are listening.
We ask Service CETA to help us about our learnership program.
Yes.
So Service CETA didn't help us to complete our learnership program. So when you go to Service CETA said we have completed the our learnership program, while now we are still waiting for our certificate since from 2017.
Waiting for what?
We can't hear still you. Waiting for our certificate.
Okay. So you were allowed to do your training.
Yeah,
hello?
We can't hear you properly. I'm worried.
Yeah, is it because of networking?
Yes, your voice is clear, but there's this thing that is crackling next to you.
What?
Yes, you can talk now. Can you start again? Sorry for that.
Okay. On behalf of the learners of UOH, we want to complete our learnership program that was hosted by UOH in the year 2017, and also project management and roadworks construction.
Mm.
Yes.
That's it. That's your only problem.
That's it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's only a problem.
Thank you. You are complaining that you want to complete your certificate course. Act. Is it what you are saying?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Cholo, for the presentation. Any questions or clarities from the members?
Oh, Ma. Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
No, to you, Mnumzana, sorry I did not get your name, but I just... Mr. Cholo, good afternoon. I am Isaac Silik from the Western Cape. Mr. Cholo, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Thank you very much. No, the question that we would like to know is that what is prohibiting you to complete your course? And why? When did the course start? And when you started, for how long? And what stopped it? And why are you not able to finish your course so that you can get your certificate? That's the question that you would like to know. Thank you very much.
Course here na tumile ka 2017. January. Then instead of going to, hello?
Yes, we're listening. Mr. Cholo, Hello? We can hear you.
Hello.
We can hear you.
Yeah, okay.
It's fine.
All right. So learnership garnet to milika January 2017. So instead of res column, Rasis column, Wabale that agent ya point the key is mung. So Yarche Arisha Meruko Mola Merosumaka Fiber.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sit down, gentlemen.
Yes.
Okay. Are you fine, Honorable Dodo? Okay. No, I think we are clear. Honorable Ntsama, do you want to say something?
Yes.
Negutla are course ya rona e thomile leng so ne ke batlo tseba gore ba kae o emetsene a le yone o emetse ba bang mo petition ya entse
okay no 178
Thank you very much. At least now we are clearer. I'm just checking, how far are you in Johannesburg? Mr. Cholo? You're very close to Pretoria.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we'll talk with you later. Otherwise, we've had the gist of what you are complaining about. Then we'll come back to you. Okay?
Okay.
To the officials of the departments, thank you for joining this session. And we will also communicate with the department about a decision that we'll be taking about this particular petition as soon as we are done with it. Thank you for being part of the petitions meeting. And to Mr. Cholo, we will communicate with you in writing as well telephonically to inform you about our decision as the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
You are excused. Can then? Someone is not muted. On that note, honorable members, and also the officials, if they are still present. Our meeting is adjourned as members will find time to discuss this petition. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Chair.
Afternoon, Chair.
Good afternoon, Chair.
I thought it's evening. I'm tired.
Evening, sorry.